This is ZL6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, with the official broadcast for November 2011. Tonight, presidential comment, headquarters news, and on the international scene.
Amateurs are asked to assist in a space plasma experiment.
That and more on tonight's NZART official broadcast. Good evening, everyone. Presenting the broadcast, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF, in sunny Nelson. As always, leading the broadcast lineup, it's presidential comment. From New Plymouth, here's our president, Roy Simon, ZL2KH. Roy?
Thank you, Jim, and good evening, listeners. I'm delighted to advise you all that Don Wallace, ZL2TLL, our administration liaison officer, has informed me that Radio Spectrum Management has agreed to our request that the general power limit for amateur bands will be increased. On 30th of November 2011, that's 3 days away, the power limit for most bands will rise from 500 watts to 1 kilowatt peak envelope power, as defined in ITU Radio Regulation 1.157. The only exception to this increase is for those bands, 130 to 190 kilohertz, 505 to 515 kilohertz, 26.95 to 27.30 megahertz, and 921 to 928 megahertz, which currently have lower limits. In these cases, the current limits will continue to apply. This is a very satisfactory conclusion to the Hawke's Bay remit to the 2011 NZART conference, and will assist New Zealand amateurs to participate in weak signal work, including EME, meteor scatter, DXing, etc., and to remain competitive, despite our remoteness, when participating in contests. For further information on license conditions, please see the updated Amateur General User Radio License, GURL, on the RSM website. Well, that's my presidential bit for this month. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Roy. The president of NZART, Roy Simon, ZL2KH. To VHF, UHF, SHF contest news, and the next contest is a field day contest, 50 megs and up, to be held next weekend, Saturday the 3rd and Sunday the 4th of December. The operating times are Saturday 1700 to 2300 New Zealand local time, and on the Sunday 700 hours to 1300 hours New Zealand local time. The first contest for 2012 is the DX Weekend Contest, 50 megs and up, and that will be held on Saturday the 4th and Sunday the 5th of February. All contest logs should be sent to arrive within 2 weeks to ZL2WA at clear.net.nz with contest log in the subject line, or you can post your log to Contest Manager, Wellington VHF Group, PO Box 12259, Thorndon, in Wellington. And finally, in this spot on contesting, a reminder of the Jock White National Field Day Contest. It's to be held on the weekend of 25th and 26th of February in 2012. More details to come soon. To Upper Hutt now, and it's a very good evening to our business manager, Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL.
Good evening, Jim, and good evening, everyone. I have been unable to find a replacement HQ InfoLine editor. Therefore, after some consideration, it has been agreed that the deadline for articles will now be on the Thursday prior to publication. This gives me time to collate everything received and place in a readable format. As from the next issue, that's issue 243, due out on the 4th of December, InfoLine will be sent out via email on Friday evenings following the deadline. Any missed articles, dependent on urgency, will be included in the following fortnightly issue. This will be the last week for any subscriptions for 2012 received to be eligible to go in the draw for the handheld radio. Please make sure your payment reaches me on or before Wednesday the 30th of November. Finally, a reminder that branches should also now be considering any remits that they may want to submit to council for consideration at the AGM in Nelson next year. Council will be meeting in February here in Wellington to discuss these, plus annual reports and other important amateur radio topics. Remits must be received by me before the 31st of December this year. That's all for this month, Jim. Back to you.
Thank you, Debbie. Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL, NZART's Business Manager. Well, National Conference is to be held right here in sunny Nelson over Queen's Birthday weekend next year. It's been all go for the organising team. Here's Conference Secretary Topsy Scott, ZL2LS, with an update.
Good evening, everybody. Another month has passed, so that means another month closer to conference. I'd like to remind you all to get in early for booking accommodation if you'd like to be on site. And now is the time to start looking for cheap airfares to Nelson for June 2012 conference. The conference committee has been working very hard on keeping the registration cost down for all amateurs. And I can tell you that the registration for 2012 will be below $200 each. I will confirm the exact amount on the official broadcast report next month. We have sacrificed some things, but all in the benefit of getting that registration fee down for you all. That's all for this month, and back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Topsy. Topsy Scott, ZL2LS, reporting for the Nelson Hamtastic Conference Committee. Now to amateur radio news on the international scene, and for an update, we join the amateur radio news lines, Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
The results are in, and the Radio Society of Great Britain has begun its own restructuring with the approval by the membership of a new governing board. Some 135 people attended the RSGB's extraordinary general meeting held on Saturday, November 19th. The meeting had been called to consider a series of resolutions to put in place an interim board to address some of the challenges currently faced by the United Kingdom's National Ham Radio Society. The gathering was chaired by RSGB President Dave Wilson, M0OBW. Those at the meeting heard from Don Beatty, G3BJ, acting general manager, of the issues leading up to the resolutions being proposed. A vote followed which led to the approval of all measures brought to the table, including one to create a new interim board. Commenting on the meeting, President Wilson said that he was delighted that members have given such a resounding vote of confidence to move ahead with the new interim board. Wilson says it clearly shows there's an appetite for change, and the new interim board carries the responsibility for working with the membership to develop the details of the way ahead. The new board also released a statement that noted in part that the interim board is committed to more open and consultative processes as it works on the changes needed for the RSGB. It says that it expects to start on those early in 2012. By way of background, the extraordinary RSGB general meeting came as the result of several issues. Among those were internal problems that led to the dismissal of a former employee and the shrinking global economy that has forced many organizations to reassess their position and objectives. The Central Research Institute of Machine Building in Russia has proposed a test using the worldwide ham radio community to receive a VHF packet downlink on 145.825 MHz, this from a new plasma space experiment on the International Space Station. The Central Research Institute is conducting a series of space plasma experiments in order to evaluate the shape of previously observed dead zone, or shadowing due to the firing of an onboard arc jet plasma source. Radio amateurs are invited to participate in the space plasma experiment known as Shadow. One matter of interest is that highly ionized exhaust plumes may scatter RF signals, producing large communications-free zones. More on this experiment and how to participate is online at tinyurl.com/plasma-in-space. With you 52 weeks a year, every year since 1976, from the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W4VRB repeater, serving Vero Beach, Florida. From New Zealand comes word that the 2012 Cordia National System Award for Historic Places is being hosted once again by the Hamilton Amateur Radio Club and Branch 12 of the NZART, this in association with the New Zealand Historic Places Trust. The Cordia National System Award is described as a fun honor and one that's available to all New Zealand amateurs to demonstrate the coverage and use of the national system to promote New Zealand history and Category 2 of historic places. Details are online at tinyurl.com/historic-paces-award. The amateur radio station located in the Columbus module of the International Space Station is currently operational on packet on 437.55 MHz. To utilize the packet system, operators on the ground need to set the UNPROTO path to ARISS with the identification of RS0ISS for Digi Relay. Alternatively, they may connect to the BBS using the call sign RS0ISS-1. The Paget beacon is set for 2-minute intervals, so it may not appear to be active over many parts of the world, but it is. N5HVO advises to simply keep listening and keep in mind the Doppler shift of plus or minus 10 kilohertz. Radio Netherlands is saying, oh, rats! This with word that the international shortwave broadcaster has encountered serious damage to one of its Thomson transmitters on the island of Bonaire due to an invasion of the pesky critters, rats. According to Media Network, the vermin have destroyed parts of the transmitter's high-voltage power supply, and the station is awaiting the arrival of spare parts from Switzerland. Radio Netherlands hopes to have the damage repaired by the time this newscast goes to air. Scientists at the Cambridge University in the United Kingdom have shown an amazing degree of control over the most fundamental aspects of an electronic circuit, that being the way in which electrons move from one place to another. Researchers at the university's Cavendish Laboratory have moved an individual electron along a wire, batting it back and forth over 60 times, almost as if it were the ball in a game of ping pong. The research finding may have applications in quantum computing, transferring a quantum bit between processor and memory. The new work is called an enabling technology for quantum computers. As such, there is a lot of work going on worldwide to make this new type of processing unit that some say may solve certain complex problems much faster than classical computers. The United Kingdom's government-mandated switchover date for digital radio may need to be extended several years, this following a new survey of car manufacturers that reveals at least half are steering clear of the new entertainment technology. As part of its Digital Britain vision, the UK Department for Culture, Media and Sport named 2015 as the deadline for turning off its aging but very popular analog radio network in favor of one based on digital standards. The move would mean the majority of today's in-car tuners as well as home radio sets would cease to function overnight. The new findings from Auto Express magazine suggest a switchover could now be delayed until 2017 or later. This after a survey of 24 mainstream car manufacturers by the publication has revealed that 50% do not offer any digital radio units for their model range, even as an optional extra. Also, almost 60% of new vehicles registered in the UK this year came with no option for the installation of a digital radio receiver. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF in Southern California at the editor's desk, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Southern Mississippi, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2011. All rights are reserved.
Thank you, Don. And as always, we say thanks to Newsline for the use of their copyright material. To Wara News we go now, and it's greetings and a very good evening to Rosemary Bosher, ZL1RO.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everybody. It's occurred to me that many ham families travel over the summer holidays, and I thought that some of you might like to know about YL Nets on VHF, which operate in various areas of the country. In the Auckland area, YLs have a net on Sunday nights on the 146900 repeater at 1900 hours. On weekdays, a YL group also uses the 146900 repeater at 1900 hours. This repeater can be accessed over a wide area from the Waikato through to north of Auckland and across to Thames. In the Nelson area, there's a NAGS net for YLs held on Wednesday night at 1930 hours on the 147025 repeater. I know that many YLs monitor the national system, and a call will hopefully result in another YL coming back to you. I encourage YLs travelling to put out a call wherever they happen to be, as there are often stations looking for a contact from a specific location to add to their list aimed at getting an award. I have a request from Jolene ZL1UJB to those WARO members who have not sent her their profiles to do so as soon as possible. If you're sitting on a request from Jolene for more information regarding your profile, she asks that you answer it as soon as possible. Lastly, here's an early notice for your 2012 calendar. The WARO 50th Anniversary Award will run from the 3rd to the 12th of March 2012, and there will be details in the WARO Bulletin and the next issue of Break-In. That's all from WARO for November. Good night, all.
Thank you, Rosemary. Reporting for WARO, Rosemary Bosher, ZL1RO. New Zealand Amateur Radio Day 2012 is to be held on Saturday, March the 10th, from 1000 hours to 1400 hours. Now, branches are encouraged to set up a station in a prominent area in their local community and to make contacts with other New Zealand Amateur Radio Day stations and home stations. Media inclusion is encouraged. Be sure to have pamphlets on hand. If you need pamphlets, contact NZART headquarters. The purpose of NZARD is twofold: to expose our hobby to the community and to prospect for potential amateur operators. Please take photos of your activity and write a short activity report and submit it to Breakin for publication. If you have any questions or require further details, drop an email to warrenzl2aj, and you can reach Warren at the following address: warren@zl2aj.com. warren@zl2aj.com. Time for branch news, and reporting from Christchurch, here's Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. Napier Branch 25 has its next meeting on Wednesday, the 7th of December, and it will be a coffee and sticky buns evening with a quiz devised by Lee ZL2AL. Hastings Branch 13 members have also been invited. From Upper Hutt Branch 63, we have news of an estate sale on Saturday, the 3rd of December. There will be items for sale from a number of amateurs, and it's expected to be a great sale day for all. Lower Hutt Branch 18 has its next meeting on Monday, December the 2nd. This will be the annual Club Beano. Nelson Branch 26 has its next meeting on Wednesday, the 14th of December, at the club rooms on Bolt Road. Note that this is the second Wednesday of the month. Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF, will give a talk on the Rugby World Cup behind the scenes. And finally, Marlborough Branch 22 will have its next meeting on Thursday, the 8th of December. Some equipment will be displayed for the interest of members. Well, that's all from me. Back to you, Jim.
And thank you, Stephen. The next issue of NZART's headquarters info line will be emailed next Sunday, the 4th of December. You can subscribe for your copy of this bulletin of news from NZART headquarters on the NZART webpage at www.nzart.org.nz. The next official broadcast of NZART will be made by ZL6A at 8 p.m. on the Sunday before Christmas. That's Sunday, the 18th of December. Sunday, the 18th of December. This is ZL6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, concluding the official broadcast for November 2011. Good night, everyone. Good night now.